Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dream On podcast. This is your host, Jennifer. Before I get into the episode, as always, I will be going over some personal updates, and then today I'll be talking about lucid dreams and virtual reality, also called virtual environments. So, as far as personal updates, unfortunately, I have been having nightmares for 3 weeks straight, so that has made it difficult to record podcast episodes. And the reason that I've been having nightmares is because they had me try like this new hormone treatment to try to make me get my period. So it worked and I feel like crap, but you know, it worked. So that's good. I won't get cervical cancer. But yeah, it's given me absolutely horrific, violent nightmares every single night. And I just lay there for hours before I can fall asleep. And just like, I feel like I drank like a ton of caffeine. Like I'm just sitting there like so energized, and at the same time, I'm exhausted. And then I go to sleep and I have nightmares the whole night. So, you know, it's been great. I have not been sleeping well, and that's made it difficult to like record episodes because it's like, oh, let's go talk about lucid dreaming and how great it is. And then, you know, I don't want to because all I can think about are the horrible nightmares I've been having. But today I'm pushing through, and you know, I'm recording right now. So we're going to make it happen. We're going to get through this. So there's that, which is fine. That's limited. That will end hopefully soon. Also pretty exciting today. And it's funny that I say that's exciting. You're going to be like, okay. But today I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is such good news for me. Like, oh my gosh, you guys need to understand, like, I have been in chronic pain as long as I can recall. And my legs have always hurt so, so bad. And they hurt with exercise, they hurt without exercise, they hurt in the middle of the night, they hurt in the middle of the day, they hurt when I get cold, they hurt when I stand up the wrong way. And it's just like, everything hurts me. And I finally have something that I can like blame it on. And the reason that I'm happy is because nothing about my life will change. It's just that now when people ask me like why I'm in pain all the time, I actually have a name that I can give them. And I can be like, I have fibromyalgia, like go look it up. And I don't have to go through this long explanation where I'm like, you know, I'm in chronic pain, but I'm undiagnosed, so I don't know what causes it. Like, it's just this whole thing that I've always had to go through, this long conversation that's exactly the same with every single person I talk to. And now the conversation's finally going to be a little bit different. Like, I can actually talk about it and I actually know what's happening. So I'm so relieved, and I'm so happy that I get to share this with everyone today, because I have been looking for a reason for my pain for so many years at this point. Like, it has been so long, and this has been a long time coming. I went to see a doctor to see if like my spine was okay, and she was like, you know, your spine is fine. Have you ever considered that it's a nervous system problem? Like, you know, you should look at fibromyalgia. And I was like, okay. So I Googled it and I was just reading all the stuff, and like I was just gaping at it. Like, it was like so many things that were just like niche problems that I have. I was just like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe that that's a symptom and that that's not normal. I thought that everyone experienced that. Or I thought that there was a lot of stuff that I thought was related to my menstrual problems, which actually fibromyalgia, apparently a lot of people with fibromyalgia have menstrual problems. So they're entwined. And just to clarify here, fibro, they don't know a lot about it, which is the theme of the podcast. So that fits in perfectly. I guess that's just the theme of my life. Doctors really don't know a lot about fibromyalgia. They don't really know a lot about what causes it. And they have no cure. There is no medication you can take that'll help you. It's also often comorbid with autoimmune disorders. And while it's not officially an autoimmune disorder, because it doesn't, like, your body doesn't actively create antibodies and it doesn't look like you're sick when they like look at your blood and stuff, some doctors do think that it's autoimmune just because it comes with so many autoimmune like symptoms, and it comes with other autoimmune disorders, typically in the same people. So there's just like, there's layers to it. And there is a sleep component factor in that a lot of people with fibro have trouble sleeping. And obviously, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know that I really don't have trouble sleeping. So thankfully, that's not something that I personally experience. Talking to the doctor today, he was like, you know, I think that your case is an atypical form of fibromyalgia, and it doesn't present the same way that other people's do, which is actually good news, because a lot of the really extreme symptoms that other people have, I don't have. So I'm not suffering as much as other people are who have this necessarily, but I also had to wait a very long time to be diagnosed. So, you know, I'm good. I'm really happy that I know now why I'm in pain all the time. And it really just validates my experience. So it feels really good, because nothing about my life will change. It won't get better. It won't get worse. But now I can actually tell people what I have, and I can say like what my problem is, and then I can just keep on living my life. So thank you all for listening to that. So personal updates out of the way. Now we can talk about virtual reality and lucid dreaming. So if you've never tried virtual reality and, like, you know, put on the cool headset or been in one of the like projection rooms that they have, VR is really cool. And I went to a tech convention, I think when I was like 15, and they had this demo at the convention that I got to try. And it was, you know, they had me put on the headset, they had me stand on like this specific sticker in the ground. And in the VR experience that they gave me, I got to choose which like ocean animals I wanted to swim around me. And so they had like turtles and dolphins, and they had killer whales and sea lions. Like, they had a lot of choices, and the whole experience was that you'd be floating in the ocean. It was like a scuba diving experience. You'd be floating in the ocean in the open water, and then the animals would like swim around you. And I was like, all right, cool. And I don't remember which one I tried first, but I remember specifically each of the experiences, because it was really scary. Because they were life size. So you need to understand that like a sea lion is actually a huge animal. And like, I know that. I've seen a sea lion, I've seen a dolphin, I know how big they are. But like, being in the VR experience, I expected them to be pretty slow. This was my first time in VR. I didn't know what it would be like, but they were going for realism, and the graphics weren't that good, but the movement was really fast. So in specifically the sea lion one, I just like, you know, I went into it and I was looking around, spinning in my spot that I could stand, and just like looking out into the water. And then they like essentially just flew right past my face, and like physically I jumped, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, they're so big, they're right there, and they just flew right by my head, and I'm like trying to lean out of the way. Just it was a surreal experience. And there were some bugs, like when I was in the killer whale one, they swam right through where my body was supposed to be. So like, I was looking down and it was swimming through me, and that was like, that was pretty scary, because, you know, you can still feel your physical body, but you can't see it. And then you see something go through where you're supposed to be, and you're like, what am I? Am I a floating head? Like, what is happening? So your sense of time and space can be distorted by glitches like that. But overall, I've spent a little bit of other time in like other VR games that were, I guess less advanced than that, even though they were more polished. But VR in and of itself is a really cool concept, and I think that they are light years ahead of where we think they are right now, because I think that in terms of like development for that stuff, I think it's pretty like top secret, just because, you know, there are a lot of applications for VR. So the stuff that we're getting released on the market right now, right? That's stuff that they developed years ago. So like VR games and stuff that are released, those were made a long time ago and they're just now coming out. So, and because it's such a new technology and it's so valuable, like the VR industry is worth billions right now. And they expect that it'll be worth billions more in just a couple of years because it's growing exponentially right now. So that tech is so valuable that you're not going to hear about the stuff they're developing right now because they don't want other people to copy it or try to steal the technology. Like it's something that they're really keeping on lockdown. And the people developing it, you have, you know, governments invested in that. You have game companies, you have medical companies. Like everyone is really after it right now, especially with the whole Facebook shift that just happened. And if you don't know about that, you should definitely check it out and like look it up because Facebook has decided to shift their brand. And now the like whole company of Facebook, they're now Meta, which is a cringy name and they should have consulted more people on that, but they're the metaverse now. So, and that's why when you open up like Instagram, you know, it's like, you know, Facebook meta, you know, it's just like, oh, it's so bad. But they are developing this whole like VR thing right now. And a ton of celebrities are investing in it and buying like quote homes in virtual reality. So they're buying virtual space, like a virtual plot of land, essentially, and they're going to build a virtual house and hang NFT artwork in it. Just like, it's this whole thing. And people are spending not like $50, okay? They're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. Companies are investing, you know, a million at a time to buy virtual space in this thing. And that makes sense, but it also doesn't because VR, look, man, I don't think it's going to be very good. My trust level and my confidence in Facebook's ability to develop a good VR experience is not very high. And I don't know who they're consulting or anything. I'm just spitting this out of like my brain. I'm not qualified to comment, but like I'm just saying based on glitches in their other apps and how they've done work previously, I don't think it's going to be very good. So, you know, I would not be buying virtual property in the metaverse. I would be buying real property in Hawaii, but you know, we all make choices. So all of this is happening, right, with VR. We have all this interest in VR, which is great. VR is super cool, and there are a lot of practical applications. But you know what's exactly like VR, except it's free? Lucid dreaming is literally exactly like VR, except it's more advanced and it's cheaper. So in a lucid dream, I literally wrote down lucid dreams are currently superior in terms of rendering, movement, function, reaction time, loading time, limitlessness, and customization. But I will say, I think that as time goes on, the scales will tip more towards evenness between lucid dreaming and virtual reality, which is an exciting concept, but there will always be benefits to both of them that the other one doesn't have. And that's why I wanted to do this episode to compare and contrast them. So obviously, like I just said, lucid dreaming is cheaper than virtual reality by a lot. It can be, you know, more or less of a deal depending on what level of VR you're trying to invest in. Especially, you know, as tech develops and they're trying to make it more and more immersive, it comes with more and more equipment and things are streamlined. But if you want a full-on experience, I think that you're going to have to pay a lot of money. Because if you want to have like what they're going for, a lot of the like advancements and stuff that they're making are like, you know, they want you to be able to feel pressure on your hands when you like pick something up in VR. And so that would be like, you know, compression gloves that they can like press on your palm, you know, just when you touch something in the VR. So it's like there are all these advancements and stuff being made, but you're going to have to pay for them. And I'm sure that with virtual reality, it's going to be like a subscription model. So it's going to be by month, you know, to go into the metaverse or to go into the game, whatever it's going to be. It's probably going to be a monthly thing because it'll just be that you keep going back for more. And, you know, everyone's kind of going to the monthly model now. So I think that'll probably be it. But like, that adds up over time. And in lucid dreams, you can't be hacked. And you don't have to worry about the money and the loading times and like the lag and just the like everything that they're doing in VR right now, you can already do in a lucid dream. But VR is getting a lot of press and people are like, oh my gosh, you could do anything in virtual reality. You could experience anything. You could go anywhere you want to go. You could, you know, do all these things. And like, you can do those things in lucid dreaming, but we circle back around to the fact that people don't talk about lucid dreaming because lucid dreaming is seen as almost this like fringe kind of like fantastical thing that people talk about. And, you know, people lie, which, you know, they do, but like, lucid dreaming is almost seen as one of those things that it's like, you know, of course it can't be that good. It can't be that cool. There's no way lucid dreaming is as vivid as people say it is. Like that's not possible. You know, people are lying and people are not lying about lucid dreaming, but lucid dreaming at the end of the day takes work. And I think that the average person is not willing to put in that much work when they can just pay for something. And lucid dreaming for some people doesn't even take that much work. For some people, you could read about lucid dreaming for the first time one day and then you have a lucid dream that night. But for other people, lucid dreaming could take months of dream journaling and like doing reality checks. It can be a long process to get there. It just depends on your level of self-awareness and other things. But VR is getting the press. And that to me proves that lucid dreaming could also, but people aren't willing to talk about it because lucid dreams are personal in a way that virtual reality could never be. Because in a lucid dream, the things that surround you are you. And so the people you talk to in a lucid dream and the ground that you're walking on, that's all part of your mind. So lucid dreaming, you know, to spit on the metaverse is meta. Like when you're in a lucid dream and you're walking around, there's nothing more insane than that because you're in your own mind and you know that. And it's just like, it's like breaking your own fourth wall. It's just an insane experience. But VR is something that, unless you're literally the developer who designed everything in the game, you're in something that someone else made, and the like NCPs and stuff in there, they're nothing. They're literally like lines of code and they're pixels. Like they're not this to the same extent. They're not ever going to be developed like a lucid dreaming NPC is, because in reality, it is a player character because it's part of your mind. And there is nothing. And like, there's nothing in the universe until we find aliens as intelligent as us. There's nothing in the universe that's as developed as people, as humans. Oh my gosh, a shadow just like went behind me. It freaked me out. Oh my gosh. my window's open and like the curtains, I think, blew to the side. It scared me so bad. Oh my gosh. But like, there's nothing as developed as the human mind that we know of right now. And I just mean that not in terms of like computation power, because they say now that they can make theoretically a supercomputer, you know, like superior to us. But I'm talking about just in terms of complexity, like the layers of our mind and how we perceive the world and our memories and our sensations. Like there is nothing like that. And for me, to get deep here, I think that's just like the spirit of humanity. I think that we have a really like strong, bright spirit. And like, that sounds so dumb. But like, you know, we really are beings that have souls, and like our minds are so complicated. And I think that that heart is really not something that you'd be able to find in VR. but it's getting the press because people are really excited about it and it has practical uses. And some of those things are things that lucid dreaming will never be able to have. Like, I've talked in an episode before about how I don't think that you can develop skills in lucid dreaming because, and I'm talking about like practical skills like math problems, probably not. Practicing an instrument, probably not. Sports, definitely not. Saying no to sports. But you could do those things in VR, theoretically, because VR, as opposed to lucid dreaming, has elements of the physical reality that lucid dreaming will simply never have, because lucid dreaming is mental, 100% in your mind. And VR, because you're awake while you're doing it, they can connect it to the physical world in the ways that lucid dreaming could never be connected. So in terms of practical things like training soldiers and training doctors, like, you would not be able to do those things in lucid dreaming because, you know, it's simply not real, and you wouldn't be able to rely on your mind's own perception of physics or anything like that because they'd be impacted by your mood. So saying no to that. But the dangers to both things that are like the psychological dangers are pretty similar. Like, there is a very real possibility that psychologists are talking about and like philosophers are talking about of, you know, the addiction of going into a virtual reality, virtual experience, and becoming addicted to that other reality. And at the end of the day, that's not real, but to you, it could really become real because it could be an escape. It could be, you know, more fun than your real life, especially if it's a really advanced VR experience where like you can interact with other people and you build this whole other life. Like, you could absolutely become addicted to that, no question. And that's just another part of human nature. Like, you can absolutely become addicted to something like that. And people can become addicted to lucid dreaming too. And that's not something that you see in a lot of places, because I think that that level of lucid dreaming ability that it would take to be addicted to lucid dreaming, I think, is very high. And so I think that only some people are able to even be like, only some people are able to even reach that level, just like at some point. And so not everyone is capable of even having that addiction. So you're not going to see it because not even as many people are capable of it. But, you know, that's real. And people do suffer from that, especially people who have, you know, hard lives, chronic pain, like stuff like that. People really suffer from that. By the way, that was not a cry for help. I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't reach out to me. It's fine. I'm serious. But, you know, people in VR could absolutely experience that. And I think that that is something that they could actually go to lucid dreamers and talk to them about. Because if anyone understands what they're trying to do with VR, it's people who know how to lucid dream. So at this point, I think that lucid dreamers are like an underutilized resource for the VR world, because obviously I'm not working in the industry, so I don't know this 100%. This is just me spouting off again, but I've never seen like an interview or anything between someone who works in VR and someone who, you know, studies lucid dreaming or does lucid dream. I've never seen a conversation happen between those two people, but I think that they would have so much in common because they're both tapping into the same part of the human mind. They're both going for that, like, you know, you believe the experience, you're all invested. Like, that's exactly what a dream is, except a lucid dream, you're just in there and you understand what's happening. So lucid dreaming and virtual reality are very similar. It's just that they both have pros and cons, and they both have their own kinds of limitations. Like, you can't lucid dream for hours and hours and hours on end. You can't. It's not possible, and it's not good for you. VR, you could be in VR for hours and hours at a time. And, you know, you need to stop to drink water and stuff, okay? But, like, realistically, people are going to be in there for hours at a time, regardless of the fact that they need to drink water and they're not eating or whatever. But like, it'll be worth it because they'll be like, oh my gosh, this is so great. You know, I can't stop, you know, five more minutes. And it keeps going. That's the experience when you're having fun. But that, you know, that's just one limitation that they both have, or, you know, that they each have. And these pros and cons, I think, are things that people should look more closely into. I think that people who know a lot about lucid dreaming and people who know a lot about virtual reality should get together sometime and talk about it, because there are a lot of things that are really similar between them, and they're both going for the same thing. They are going for the exact same thing. And when you look at both of them, you can see the similarities. You already know. And the hurdle that they really need to get over is this whole idea that lucid dreaming is not, you know, it's not as vivid as reality. It's not something that people actually do. You know, there are a lot of things that lucid dreaming is stigmatized for, and people just don't believe about it. But that's not that hard to change, because the reality is just that those things aren't true. Like, lucid dreaming is an amazing experience, and a lot of people do it. A lot of people have experienced it. And so when you have that many voices saying, you know, that certain things are true and certain things aren't true, it lends credibility to it, because you just have that many people who agree. So those lucid dreaming people, those virtual reality people, I want to see a conversation between them about that. And I want to hear from both sides, and I want to hear about the comparisons and contrasting things. I think that the only thing that's really the issue, though, with that right now, is that VR, in terms of what's coming out right now, is too far behind. Because if I were to compare them right now, like, lucid dreaming is so many light years away that it's laughable. You cannot compare them right now. It's like comparing a baby to an adult. Like, you just cannot, you know, of course the soul of it is there. You know what they're going for, but like, it's just not developed enough yet. So maybe if we revisit this in a few years, it'll be at the point where you can say that they're comparable and there are things that they both offer that are like actually, you know, good. But at this point, VR is just not there yet, because it's a limited experience where you can't move, you can't feel the sensations in there. Like, you know, you're stuck within a limited space because they don't know how to let you walk around yet. And there are, you know, and if they do let you walk around, then it's in like an architectural VR where they show you, you know, like how big a room is going to be, and like a building kind of scenario, which I learned about in my interior design class, which was super fun. But very, very, very interesting. All of it is incredibly interesting. And in virtual reality, of course, they're talking about the psychological dangers, but they're also talking about the perks in psychology of having virtual reality to lean on. Because, like I've been saying forever, and I will say forever, you can absolutely use things like this for therapy. So in virtual reality, they are already talking about the potential of using VR for exposure therapy. And what is that? I think it's agoraphobia. Yep, it's agoraphobia. I looked it up. So like agoraphobia, where you're afraid of certain scenarios, like getting on a plane, you know, stuff like that's very specific, because they could go in VR and go on a plane and they could know that it's not real, but they would still be desensitized to, you know, the look of being on the plane, the look of seeing the seats in front of them, and like the windows, the small windows. Like, they can, it's just a step that it gives you between you and the real thing, so that you don't have to make such a huge leap, because it just makes it easier for people. So that's the same thing that I've been saying that you could do in a lucid dream, but lucid dreaming takes more work. And the thing about a lucid dream is that your therapist can't help you when you're in a lucid dream. So I think that for things like this specifically, it would be better to be in VR, because then you can actually have someone with you guiding it, and then your fear won't make it go out of control. But the concept still applies, because it applies to both, obviously. But like, you know, this specifically, VR wins, but there are many other scenarios that I think that they are thinking of, you know, we could use VR for this, we could use VR for this. And it's like, you could also use lucid dreaming for that, and it would cost people a lot less money. But that's why companies don't talk about lucid dreaming as well. You need to keep in mind, because you can't sell lucid dreaming. Like, people sell booklets and stuff, and like, you know, here's how to lucid dream. People have their YouTube channels and like their TikToks, and they're like, you know, here's what you should do. But like, you can, that's just not comparable to the amount of money people make selling tech and like more expensive things, which you can also get for lucid dreaming. But let's be real, the market is just not, it's just not comparable to, you know, VR and other stuff in that vein. So this is an incredibly interesting topic to me, and I could talk about this forever, just like looping back on myself and picking up, you know, new things to say. But I think that it's important that I end before I talk in circles. So thank you all so much for listening. I was so excited to give you all my like life updates. I'm so excited, oh my gosh, that I finally have a name for why my legs hurt so bad all the time. So thank you very much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Dream On podcast. Dream On.